And so, as we've previously noted, we are beginning a four-part teaching series this morning called the Simple Series. And in this Simple Series, we'll be describing and explaining in some detail that model of ministry that we are presently pursuing at Holy Cross, a model of ministry designed to help us be more authentic disciples of Jesus Christ and to help us help others be more authentic disciples of Jesus Christ. Indeed, being disciples of Jesus Christ and helping others to do the same is the church's primary mission. Indeed, you may be familiar with it, the Great Commission, as it's oftentimes called. In Matthew chapter 28 and beginning at verse 18, Jesus has risen from the dead, but prior to his ascension, between which was 40 days of time that he was with the apostles, at some point in time within that period, he said these things. In fact, Matthew, narrating the event, Matthew 28 and beginning at verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, since this is true, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so, since this is what Jesus wants us to be doing, he wants us to be disciples of his faithful followers and to be making disciples, showing others how to do that. At Holy Cross, we are attempting to make this simple purpose the primary focus of everything that we do. And the process for accomplishing this simple purpose is as simple as the purpose itself. Indeed, in order to be disciples of Jesus Christ ourselves and to help others to be disciples, we want to commit ourselves and invite others to join us in the pursuit of four simple steps. Now, in order to, there you are, the Venn diagram. In order to help us get a handle on the process, we have this simple visual. And you may notice that the first step in the process is to worship God regularly, which we'll have more to say about today. Worship God regularly, and then to grow together faithfully. And then step three, to serve others lovingly. And finally, you'll notice that the fourth one goes down and into number one again, because the process never ends. You don't get, well, you might say that the fourth step obviously is one that never ends. So those four steps: to worship God regularly, to grow together faithfully, to serve others lovingly, and to mature in Christ continuously. And today we're talking about the first step in the process, and that is to worship God regularly. Simply put, to worship God regularly means making worship together with other believers a personal priority. That is to say, a spiritual habit. That is to say, something that you and I do regularly and consistently as a personal spiritual discipline. Indeed, the word disciple and the word discipline, you may have noticed, are closely related. Indeed, a disciple, amongst other things, is a person who engages in discipline. And to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is to engage in the same disciplines that Jesus himself engaged. And one of the disciplines in which Jesus engaged consistently and regularly was worship with others on a weekly basis. Indeed, Jesus worshiped God regularly. And so we have it in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 16. "And Jesus," we read, "came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom," his habit, his commitment, "and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day." Indeed, Jesus didn't just do nine of the commandments He did all 10. And Jesus did, in doing all of the commandments, he did the fourth as well, and to keep the Sabbath day holy. Holy meaning set apart or for special use or special observance. And as we've already noted, to be a disciple of Jesus is to do as Jesus did. In fact, part of the reason why we don't do what Jesus did is because we don't know what he did. So notwithstanding, you know, the popularity of wearing a plastic bracelet has WWDJJ or whatever it is on there. I got it written down somewhere later in my talk. You know, what would Jesus do? How can you do what Jesus would do if you don't know what Jesus did? But as we've already noted, that to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is to do as he did. And this is what Jesus says about that. In fact, it was in our gospel reading today. From Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 24, Jesus said, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough," and this is the goal, by the way, of discipleship, "it is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master." And so if you have ever woken up on a Sunday morning and you're tempted to stay at home and skip church, and you're wondering because you have a WWJD bracelet on, what would Jesus do? The answer to that question is Jesus would go to church. Well, how do you know that, Scott? Because he did. Knowing what Jesus would do in the circumstance in which you find yourself begins with you knowing what Jesus did. Indeed, Jesus worshiped God regularly and habitually. As Luke says, Jesus worshiped every Lord's Day, as we would call it, we call it the Lord's Day, as was his custom. As we would describe it today, Jesus was a regular churchgoer. Indeed, when the people of God gathered for worship, Jesus was there. And to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, is to do the same. So that's the first thing. Jesus worshiped God regularly. Secondly, Scripture says that God will be with us in a special way when we worship him regularly. Indeed, Jesus himself says that he is present with us in a special way when we gather together in his name. Matthew, I think I might have referred to it in a prayer earlier. Matthew 18 and verse 20, "For wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am among them." In fact, I was in a small group this last week. I think there were three of us. It was an extraordinary meeting. And the presence of God was thick there. Wherever two or three are gathered. When you think about two, there were two people in Sychar at the well. The woman at the well, as we call her, because we don't know what her name is. And Jesus. And if you've ever read John chapter 4, what a meeting that was. Extraordinary. I mean, one of the last things she said was, "I perceive you must be a prophet." And she went back to town and said, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did." But there were only two people there. In contrast, by the way, the feeding of the 5,000, that was a disaster, spiritually speaking. And when Jesus wouldn't give them bread anymore, because he said, "You're missing the point. I'm the bread of life. He who believes in me, he who trusts in me, I will raise him up on the last day." And so on. They said, "We don't want that. We want free food." And they all deserted him. And so you remember, he turned to the apostles and said, "Will you be leaving too?" And Peter, speaking on behalf of them all, said, "Where should we go, Lord? For you have the words of eternal life." And so it went down from 5,012 back to 12. But Jesus was there. "For wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." That is to say, with them, in their midst. Indeed, the scripture says that God inhabits the praises, that is the worship of his people. And Psalm 22 and verse 3, the psalmist says, "And yet you, Lord, are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." Indeed, to be enthroned means to be seated, and to be seated can also be taken to mean to dwell, to inhabit. And so in the King James, we have this rendering, which might be familiar to some of you. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. The point being that God is present in a special way when we gather together with one purpose, and that is to worship him. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that God isn't everywhere. Of course, God is everywhere. Or that we can't worship him anywhere. We can. I would have to say that I do most of my worshiping away from here. It simply means that God wants us to worship together. It's interesting, speaking of the Jesus and his discussion with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, he said that God the Father seeks worshipers to worship him together in spirit and in truth. And that God is present in a special way, by the way, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting? Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, you know what? There's two or three others with you. Have you ever wondered why this idea of togetherness and community and relationship is so important? The revelation of God that we have in Jesus Christ is not that God is one person, but that God is three. That God, the divine, that category of existence that we call the divine, is a community of persons. And in the image of that community of persons, you are created. It all goes together. And so God is present in a special way when we gather together to worship him, as the scriptures say that God inhabits the praises of his people. And so that's the second thing. God is with us in a special way when we worship him regularly. Then thirdly, if you like, there is the challenge of worshiping God regularly. Indeed, for some self-described followers of Jesus Christ, worshiping God regularly is a hard thing to do. The reason that it is hard, I suppose, is because worshiping God regularly is a commitment. And if you would make worshiping God regularly your habit and custom as Jesus made it his, you'll have to decide whether or not you're going to commit to it. Indeed, seeing worship as only one of many things that you might do when the people of God gather for worship isn't the same as committing to worshiping God regularly. Indeed, if you would take to worshiping God regularly as a personal spiritual discipline, you'll have to decide whether you're going to commit to it yourself or not. And to all the benefits, the spiritual benefits that are gained from making such a commitment. Indeed, Richard Foster, in his celebrated book, Celebration of Discipline, he wrote that the purpose of the disciplines is spiritual growth. And as someone else has written, regular worship is like the spiritual, like all the spiritual disciplines, is about the power of cumulative effect. Cumulative effect. That is to say, the more you do it, the more you benefit from it. As someone else again has written, quote, regular worship is about deliberately investing time in worship and then, as a result, accumulating the personal spiritual capital that is gained from it. Indeed, the scriptures say that God rewards those who commit to worshiping him regularly. There's some hint of that in the last verse of that passage that Ken read from the letter to the Hebrews. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him. And if you've ever diligently sought him, you know that's true. Even as the psalmist says, in your presence is fullness of joy, in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's the reward of the one who diligently seeks God. Not just to get something from God, but that God is the thing that is being sought. And so he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And to commit yourself, and for me to commit myself to worshiping God regularly, is to honor God. And God's promise to those who honor him is that he honors them. Even if, as we have his words recorded in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30, those who honor me, I will honor. Jesus put it this way in the famous kingdom parable, the parable of the talents. You know it. You know at least this concept. The faithful steward, the faithful servant. And Jesus says, and his master said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. You have been faithful with a little thing. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And so perhaps you'd like to be more than just an interested bystander when it comes to faith in Jesus Christ. Perhaps you'd like to be a real disciple, a real follower of Jesus Christ, but you're not exactly know where to begin. Well, if that describes you, I invite you to start with step one. That's why we call it step one. Commit yourself to worshiping God regularly and be faithful to God with this little thing and watch what happens. It's not complicated. Indeed, it's simple, as all the disciplines are. But in order for a spiritual discipline to work and for it to bear fruit in your life, you have to commit to it. And so that's the first step. Worship God regularly. And step one, of course, is just the beginning. Indeed, the process that we're talking about has four steps. And so next week, we'll talk about step two, which is grow together faithfully. And if you commit yourself to step one, I so suppose we'll see you next week. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. I often think, Lord, as you know, of Thomas. Where was he when Jesus showed up the first time? And he missed it. Of course, you and your grace, you showed up again. And so I suppose that has a double meaning. The things we miss when we're not here. But there's always another opportunity to start, another opportunity to show up and meet with the living God. Lord, what did we ever do to deserve your desire to be a part, indeed, not just to be a part, to be the thing in which we live and move and have our being, to be the thing without which we couldn't exist, and certainly without which we cannot live. And you, for whatever reason, I have no idea, you have chosen to do something special when we meet together. And so, Lord, make us faithful to that. And as we are, to expect and to enjoy the reception of your blessing and your reward, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.